Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Determination, liberation, and sovereignty. We welcome you to Dare to Win. This is the Uplifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Stay with us, and we will be having another exciting and enlightening topic to discuss this evening. Welcome to Dare to Win. This is where we have a sobering discussion about the imperative for Black people to take control of the economics of our community. We talk about an exact methodology on building the economic machinery via a global cooperative family-centered economic model and how to pass it forward to future generations. I appreciate having the listening audience joining us this evening. My name is Sister Nanana, and I will be your host this evening on Dare to Win radio program. To join the conversation, please call in to 929-477-2789. Once again, that's 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or to ask a question. Now, if you want to join us via your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. Click on the Ulu Radio tab, and then click on Listen Live. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Sister Nanana. I'm your host for this evening, and joining us this evening is Baba Hakima Kenyama, one of the founding members of Uplifting Us, and also the elder advisor before the board of directors of Us Lifting Us. And the topic that we're going to be addressing this evening is, what's the plan, master or slave? What's the plan, master or slave? Baba Hakima, would you like to say hello to the audience and tell us what this subject is about? What's the plan, master or slave?
Yes, thank you, sis. It's certainly good to be back on the airways with you and with the family. And it seems that these Thursdays roll around so quickly. But yes, we're back with the family again, and thank you for the opportunity. The subject tonight, what's the plan, master or slave, or master not slave? I would surmise that almost everyone, and possibly everyone listening to this recording, and everyone who we would say is a part of our community, would desire that we were in a position to be what we would call masters. In other words, in charge of our situation. And so that is our preference. That is our desire. That is our prayer, I would say, that we, instead of being dominated, exploited, mistreated, not only in the U.S., but in many other locations, I think that our desire is to be not in that position, but in a more favorable position where we would be in control of the economic, political, and social life of the communities in which we live. So the topic is, what's the plan, master, not slave, or master or slave? And part of what I want to cover this evening is a plan, the ULU plan, that would allow us to move from a subservient position to a position of exercising power, authority, and some control in the world. So we chose the subject to just set the atmosphere for a robust discussion about how we programmatically, incrementally move from where we are to where it is that we want to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that introduction. And as you indicated when you said a robust discussion, I truly believe that the stage has been set for just that, for looking at what the plan might be or what the plan should be for us to be in the position of master and not slave. And I believe that the plan that you're talking about, Baba Hakima, is the ULU 10-point appeal and plan for the new black economy. Is that correct, that this is the plan that you're going to help walk us through as much as of it that we can get through this evening?
Yes, and I would ask brothers and sisters who are listening to stay with us. We're probably not going to go through the 10 points this evening, but we'll go until the time ends for this evening, and then we'll pick it up at another session. But we dare not rush through it, and hopefully some of the listening audience will call in and chime in and give feedback and ask questions as well. But, yes, it's the 10-point appeal and plan, and I submit to you that the elements of economic self-determination are included in those 10-point appeal and plan. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for mentioning that. And for those of our listening audience who do have access to the website, usliftingus.com, you might want to look at your website, and you will see that there is a tab on the website that actually says 10-point appeal and plan. So you can click on that and have the 10-point appeal and plan right in front of you, the verbiage right there, and follow along with us. So to get us started, Baba Hakima, could you give us some history and some background around how and why the 10-point appeal and plan was developed, and what's the intent of it?
Well, let me deal with the intent first. The intent is to crystallize in a one-page document the essential elements of our empowerment plan. And when I say our, I mean Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. Us Lifting Us was born out of a study group that was initiated in 2011. There were a handful of us who came together once a week face-to-face, and we didn't miss that face-to-face session for more than a year. And what we promised to do and what we successfully did was to pool information, do research, reach out to consultants, and pool together a precise, programmatic approach to economic empowerment. We knew that of all of the things that we were doing collectively here in the Atlanta metropolitan area, economics was something that we didn't focus on and we didn't do well. And so we thought of all of the things that we were dealing with, we really needed to focus on economics. And at the end of or nearing the end of our sessions, we had come upon the clear decision that we would form a cooperative, a group-owned business enterprise. It would be made up of individuals and institutions, and that it would be global, and that some of the elements that we're going to talk about later were born in that process. So it came out of a need, and ULU exists based on a need for us to be, as a community and as nations, to be more effective, more efficient in utilizing and directing the economic and other resources available to us, such that we would be able to compete locally, regionally, nationally, and globally in the economic landscape here on planet Earth. And I would think that no one in the listening audience would think that we shouldn't be able to, in fact, compete compete successfully, such that progressively, we would gain greater and greater control of the economics of the communities and nations in which we reside. So that's kind of the background of why the 10-point appeal and plan. And many individuals beyond the small group that was a part of the study group participated in the 10-point appeal and plan. And so we reached out far and wide to get criticism, to get suggestions, and it took us several months to come up with the document. And we think it's a strong document, And it challenges us to be patient with ourselves, to be loving with ourselves, and to put in place the institutions, the processes, the systems, the infrastructure that will allow us to carry out each of the 10 points. And we feel that in doing that and in building that platform, no force on the planet would stop us from realizing the objective of us being, go back to the subject matter, of being masters as opposed to slaves.
Wow, it sounds like it's very deep and very comprehensive. So thank you very much, Baba Hakima, for giving the background and the history of how this 10-point appeal and plan was developed. So let's get right into to going through the 10-point appeal and plan. And before we actually start that, I do want to remind our callers that if you have a question or a comment to make as we delve into the discussion, please press 1 on your dial so that it will show up on our screen here and we can open your line so that you can ask your question or your comment. And the number to dial into is 929-477-2789. All right. So the first thing, a short introductory statement on the 10-point appeal and plan before actually starting with number 1. I'll read that. It says, current events and the general unrest of the times call for radical change. The following points provide practical and necessary steps for a new and positive existence for us today and for future generations. So that's the lead-in to the 10-point appeal and plan. And number 1, at the very top of the list of the 10-point appeal and plan, as Black people, we take full responsibility for the economic destiny of our communities and nations. So could you expound on that first point a bit, Baba Hakima?
Ashe. You know, everything really starts from intent. What is it that you aim to do? What is it that you aim to accomplish? What is your intention? And, you know, if you intend to go north, but you are traveling south, you've got a problem. And we know that the intent of everyone in our community is not to be responsible for the economic destiny of our people. But there are a sufficient number of us who accept that as our responsibility. And so what we're doing in the 10-point appeal and plan, starting out with number 1, is to be clear that we never get to economic self-determination without first having that as an intent, that as a mission, that as a goal, that as an endpoint to be reached. And really, when a person or a people make up their mind and be clear about an intent, everything else sort of falls in place. Because with the clarity and the strength of the intent, then nature sort of unfolds and things become clearer. Part of the problem in the Black community, locally and globally, we're living essentially, for the most part, in two worlds. We know that we're under the spell of the empire, economically, politically, culturally, socially, in every other way. We are impacted by the influence of the empire, regardless of who the empire might be, whether it's Rome, whether it's Constantinople, whether it's China, it doesn't really matter, whether it's Britain, whether it's the U.S. And oppressed people, in the midst of their oppression, are confronted with coming up with measures that will allow them to move beyond the oppression and at the same time being impacted with the oppression or by the oppression.
Mm-hmm.
One of our members, and Sister Nana, you know, a brother, Wakesa Majumoyo,
yes,
always talks about us being healers, builders, and it's three things at one time. In other words, it's not just one. So the first point of the 10-point appeal and plan had to deal with the intention, with the end point of what it is that we are aiming for. And so it provides, that first point in the 10-point appeal and plan provides the gateway to all of the other elements. In other words, and certainly if we don't intend to be masters, intend to be in control of the economics of our own community, then we will not. But what I was about to get to about living in two worlds, even in our movement, there are efforts to correct the ills of the that are evident in the empire. And it's not wrong to do that. You've got to fight against injustice. You've
mm-hmm.
got to, where you can, minimize the ill effect. But if you're able to actually end the oppression, ultimately, we have to be in a position so that we can determine the quality of life based on our own agency, based on our own capacity, and not be at the mercy of others. So the intent to be in control of the economics of our community, not the intent to have others modify what they do to accommodate us, but ultimately for ourselves to be in position so that we can determine, in other words, with our hands on the steering wheel, on the rudder, so to speak, of what it is that is our community, our future, our condition as a people. So that first point is the foundational piece to the 10-point appeal and plan. And we may want to read it back again to just make sure that we've covered it.
I will read it again, and I just want to say, Baba Hakima, I really appreciate the detail and the explanation that you put around the first item on the 10-point appeal and plan. When you linked it to intent, that we certainly don't want our intent to be to have other people modify what they're doing in order to provide some accommodations for us, but rather our intent should be to be fully responsible for doing what we need to do to take care of ourselves. That really hits home. And once again, number one on the 10-point appeal and plan: as Black people, we take full responsibility for the economic destiny of our communities and nation. All right. Well, I think
if I could just follow up. I don't want people to take away from this is that we don't hold other people accountable for their misdeeds, for their barbarous, unjust activity. We do. But no people really want to give away their destiny to another people or to other forces. Mm-hmm. And so we're not suggesting that other people should not be accountable for what they do, and they should be. But ultimately, if someone's standing in your chest and have you pinned to the concrete, again, they're standing in your chest and have you pinned to the concrete. It's ludicrous to think that they don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. It's intentional. They're standing in your chest. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you may be in a position where you cry out for mercy or you cry out for justice or you cry out for whatever. But you never make the mistake that they don't understand what they're doing. And you really want to be in a position where you can cut the legs off if it takes that. And so so we take responsibility because ultimately it is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Even though we may not have thrown ourselves to the concrete and we may not be standing ourselves in our chest. In other words, we may find ourselves in a predicament. But if we're honest with ourselves, the forces that have us in this position did so in a deliberate, intentional manner. It was not a mistake. And so if it was not a mistake, and you can't reach out to people and say, well, you made a mistake. You enslaved us. You imprisoned us. You dominated us and you exploited us. And if it's not a mistake, then the responsibility for the corrective can never be on them because they intentionally, those forces intentionally did what they did. So it's the responsibility ultimately has to be on us. But again, I'm not saying that we don't hold other forces accountable and responsible for their misdeeds. So I think we've... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but I'm through with one. I'm sure you have some.
I was just going to say that additional clarity was well taken for sure, because sometimes I judge that we do get a little confused around that, and it causes us to compromise our intent. Because there's that tendency to say, oh, well, they really didn't understand, they didn't know what, and you're very right. They are intentional. They are very clear about what they're doing because standing in our chest is what provides them the economic boost that they need to maintain that superior position. And so it is all very intentional on their part, and we have to be equally, if not more, intentional on our part. So, and I'm going to suggest right here, Baba Hakima, that we take a short break, and when we come back, we will continue with the 10-point appeal and plan. And once again, if you have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your dial. Press 1 on your dial. And we'll be back with you shortly to continue our discussion on the 10-point appeal and plan.
From Arrested Development, and I come here tonight to give thanks to the rain. So brothers and sisters, please put down your umbrellas. You won't be needing those today. Look to the clouds. with the most rain coming from it. For without the rain, there's no me and there's no you. I said a trip drop, a trip drop, trip drop. Body viva, bum bum bum. Trip drop. Let it rain, let God's water feed me. The water of life, mentally rinsing me, physically drenching me, most of frowning upon your arrival. But I need you for survival, and when you fall in my community, yeah, I run outside to properly greet you. Let it rain, take my pain, I'm glad to meet you. Fill my eyes with a colorful rainbow. Every drop that hits me fills me with unimaginable amount of security, knowing my God acknowledges me as this each drop of rain is aimed toward me. My Lord, thanks for life. My Lord, thanks for life.
Thank you, yeah. My rain.
It's rainy revolution. It's rainy solution. It's rainy revolution. 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 Struggle, struggle through the ghetto. The rain, the time I feel is mental. The goal of this rain I feel is spiritual. Saw through the eyes of the afflicted people. The eyes are hard as a million tombstones. Marked with the names of the millions of kin thrown to the dust that gave to the color.
All right, we are back with you again. This is Dare to Win, the regular Thursday night broadcast for Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. And I am your host this evening. This is Sister Nanana, and we have Baba Hakima Kenyama as our guest this evening, leading us through a dialogue, discussion, and in-depth query into the ULU 10-point appeal and plan for the new Black economy. If you would like to be part of the discussion or the dialogue, please call into 929-477-2789 and press 1 on your dial to let us know that you have a question or a comment. We have gone through the very first item on the 10-point appeal and plan, and Baba Hakima, thank you so much for providing some detail and explanation around that to help us see the importance of being intentional in terms of taking the full responsibility for our economic destiny. Now, moving on to number 2 on the 10-point appeal and plan, Black persons and Black institutions, especially the Black church, join together as members in a large-scale, cooperatively owned business enterprise to pool our resources. Help us to understand more of what that is, what number 2 is presenting to us, Baba Hakima.
Ashe.
Thank you.
It said that more than $1.3 trillion flows through the hands of Africans in America on a yearly basis. And if that's true, and it's probably more than that, then I should say that Africans in America are committing a crime. And what I mean by that is that in our right minds, we would devise a method to siphon off a little of that to dedicate to building an apparatus, a platform, an infrastructure, a machinery that will allow us to escape part of the male treatment that we experience. And so in our plans, we knew that we wanted to tap into trade and commerce and build a process, a mechanism that will allow us to move part of that flow into a reservoir, into an environment where we could intentionally use it to build an empowerment process. And so what we deliberately did was to create a legal structure. The actual legal name is Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. And so we created a legal structure, and the desire, the plan, and what we in fact have done, but we must continue to do and do in even greater numbers, is to connect with individuals and institutions in our community as part of the net, the apparatus that we would use to capture and redirect our resources. Now, Brother George Frazier with FrazierNet, in almost all of his lectures, he talks about, you know, the amount of money that flows through our hands, but he also talks about the value of the skills, the intelligence, the genius of our people. And it's on any scale that you use, it's much more than the capital or the money resources. So when we're talking about channeling, capturing and channel resources, we're not only talking about the Benjamins, so to speak, that or capital resources, but we're talking about skills, expertise, labor, genius, the energy and enthusiasm of our people. And so as we, based on number one, intend or take full responsibility for the economic destiny of our people, now in number two, we begin to build the structure, the process, the apparatus to take advantage of what it is that it is our intent. So the first requirement after the clear intent and responsibility is to then begin to build the infrastructure that would allow us to do that. And so if brothers and sisters who are listening to us, if they go onto our website and they look at our membership application, for instance, it accommodates individuals, but it also accommodates institutions. And so what we envision is building hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, and hundreds of thousands of individual stakeholders, individuals and institutions, as a part of the process that gathers or harnesses resources, formats those resources, builds an infrastructure based on businesses that we own, and then because of the way it's structured, a good percentage of the resources are made to circulate in our community longer than is normal, such that we can empower the community, create jobs, provide needed goods and services, and incrementally gain greater and greater control of the, again, the economic landscape, the economic activity, the commerce of our local communities. So that would be my first stab at number two.
Thank you so much. Yes, that it really indicates that there is a definite process and protocol that needs to be followed in creating these economic institutions, and the role that the various institutions already in place in the Black community should play in helping to bring that about. Now, in number two, it mentions specifically the Black church. Is there a reason for that, Baba Hakima, that the black church in particular is mentioned in item number two?
Yes, it is. The black church traditionally has been the strongest institution in the black community. Not only is it the strongest institution in terms of spiritual practice, teaching, but it's also the strongest institution in some other areas. And in terms of channeling resources, I'm not sure of the figure, but when we analyze how many billions of dollars that are collected in our churches on Sunday and then get deposited in European or foreign banks on Monday, is staggering. But the churches serve other roles as well. Now, we don't want to overlook any institution in our community. And I would say that if you ask almost any member of our community, including the pastor, including the deacons, including the bishops or whoever, do you think, if we ask this question, do you think we should control the economics of our own community? Invariably, that person will say yes, whether that's a student, whether that's a laborer, whether that's a leader in our community, will say yes. We really do want, and we understand the potential power of us unifying around a particular aim with a particular process or system in place. And so what we wanted to say in number two, and when we bracket it and say especially the church, we wanted to say to brothers and sisters, do not make the mistake of overlooking the church. Now, we know that that's going to be a hard nut to crack in some cases, but as we build the platform, as we build the infrastructure, then some of the churches will come around, and because of their size and because of the organizational structure in the church and the goodwill that exists in some of the church, they will be major players. It may be difficult getting them on board initially, but we dare not make the mistake of overlooking them and building not in consideration of their relative importance and position in our community, not only locally, but globally as well. And now there are churches that are doing some fantastic things in terms of creating jobs, spawning business development in their community, not a lot of them. But if we can develop and perfect a system that would accommodate the church and not take it off of its mission, but allow it to participate in the economic destiny of our local communities, I think most of those churches would want to participate. And so the job is on us to crystallize a process, a system, a program that makes it easier and accommodating for them to participate. Now, remember, a church can be a member of Us Lifting Us. Any institution that's a tax entity can be a member. Individuals can be a member. An association can be a member. A church can be a member. So consider a church that is a member. Some of its parishioners are members, but the church as an institution participating, and we'll cover it in later points, participating strategically in ULU and positioning itself to benefit from the business success of the large-scale cooperative that we are building. So, we intentionally included the church, and the reason, of course, is that I don't know that we survived, that we would have survived to the level that we've survived without the church. The mm-hmm. institutions, the schools that have been created, they were the underpinnings of the civil rights movement, other movements that we've had. And yes, they've been compromised and are compromised, but we dare not throw them away.
Thank you so much, Baba Hakima, for that additional explanation. And I don't think that there's anyone who can deny that the Black church has definitely, as you said, been the major institution in our community that has stood the test of time. And so we definitely want to make sure that the church is included as we move forward with this new Black economy, for sure. So I'm going to suggest that we take one more short music break, and when we come back, let's see if we can handle one more of the 10-point appeal and plan. That would be number 3. So to our listening audience, stick and stay with us. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. Thank you. Once again, this is Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative regular Thursday night radio program. And I am your host this evening, Sister Nanana, and I have Baba Hakima Kenyama as our guest this evening. Baba Hakima is one of the founding members of Us Lifting Us and serves now as an elder advisor to the executive board of Us Lifting Us. And we are covering this evening the ULU 10-point appeal and plan for the new Black economy. So far, we've gone through 2 of the 10 points, and they are in-depth, so we are going to go through one more, number 3 this evening, and follow up at a later time with discussion and dialogue around the remainders of the 10-point appeal and plan. For those of you listening, if you would care to call in and be a part of the dialogue. The number is 929-477-2789, and then press the number 1 on your dial. So with the with that, let's move forward, Baba Hakima, to item number 3.
Okay.
This cooperatively owned business enterprise is reflective of our unique culture and interest in the world. This cooperatively owned business enterprise is reflective of our unique culture and interest in the world. All right, what can you share with us to really help us to understand how this is a fit for our economic development cooperative?
Ashe, and thank you for the question. And point 3, as we mentioned a little earlier, we went through more than a year of study and analysis, and we looked at many cooperatives in the U.S., Canada, Italy, the U.K., Spain, and of course, most of us are familiar with co-ops in our local communities, and many of them follow international principles, and in some ways, some of them mimic each other, because essentially, most co-ops deal with a legal structure, bringing a collective into existence, and for the most part, taking advantage of certain opportunities in that local community. And they may not differ that much one from another. What we were confronted with is a need to really address who we are, who we were, in terms of identity as African people. But more importantly than that, as an oppressed people. So when we started looking at structure, process, and how we would build Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, we had to do it to be truthful to ourselves in the context of who we are in relationship to other economic forces in the world. And so part of being honest with ourselves, we were and are building Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperatively for our own people. We're not building it for the world. We're not building it for the total community. Here in Atlanta, we have a food co-op that's very successful, probably 3,000, 4,000 members, and it services everyone. And it's a beautiful institution. But it's not. It did not come into existence for the purpose of empowering a particular people. And so based on our purpose of being responsible for the economic destiny of our community and nations, then the ULU, the cooperative enterprise, would have to be reflective of our goals, our intent. And so, and our interest in the world. Our interest is to be free of domination. And so, incrementally, as we continue to build and add on to what we do it in relationship to and in compliance with our intent. And so, number 3, when we say that the cooperatively owned business enterprise is reflective of our unique culture, part of our unique culture, in addition to being African descended, is that we're African descended and oppressed. See, that's our condition is part of our identity of who we are. And so while it's very positive to have co-ops in the community. Of course, one of the co-ops that almost all of us are familiar with are credit unions. It would not be a bad idea to have a co-op in the community, a credit union, and to take care of the financial needs of the community. That's appropriate. But for us, because of our mission of addressing the economic needs of our community relative to our oppressed condition, then we had to confront how we would structure the institution. And it even colored how we actually legally constituted Us Lifting Us. In Georgia and in every state in the U.S. and in most regions and nations of the world, there are cooperative statutes, cooperative societies, and legal statutes that would accommodate that. When we looked at the statutes, legal statutes in Georgia, if we had come under the co-op statutes in Georgia, we would not have been able to be true to our mission. We took another option, which a lot of organizations and institutions in the world are taking advantage of, is to use the limited liability statutes to actually build a co-op within that structure. And so we have two legal documents, the Articles of Organization, which is deposited with the state, our clear intent to be a collective and all the things. And then the other document, which is our operating agreement, which lays out the particulars that would allow us to address the cultural needs and the interest needs of our community.
Mm-hmm.
There's a third document, too, that I would ask people to take to be mindful of. The operating agreement is a 22-page document. There's a 4-page document, our values and ethics document. So all three of those documents make up the legal foundation of Us Lifting Us. So it's important that we build the institution in order to accommodate the mission. And so in number three, that's what our intent was. And as people look at Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, please look at it from the standpoint of a collective with the ultimate goal of being in control of the economics of our community, which goes beyond what a normal and average co-op or venture would be, where that normal co-op would just be taking care of the needs of the fishermen in a community, or taking care of the electrical power needs of a rural community, or taking care of whatever. Ours is a bigger mission, a more specific and tailored mission, and it requires that we be very sensitive of the cultural dynamics that we're dealing with, and also the special interests of our people as an oppressed, dominated, and exploited people.
Wow.
Well, Baba Hakima, this has certainly been a very enlightening session that we have had this evening. I venture to say that it has given the listeners a lot to think about and is challenging them to dig deeper in terms of their understanding around the very, very strong foundational pieces that ULU is made of. I thank you, and I certainly appreciate you taking the time to be with us this evening and to provide the additional explanation of these first 3 points of the 10-point appeal and plan. And we will continue this discussion as we move forward in the future on other Dare to Win programs coming up in the future. We're going to be drawing to a close right now. Thank you to our listening audience for being there and for participating with Dare to Win this evening. Just want to remind our listeners that our website is www.usliftingus.com, www.usliftingus.com. So appreciate having you, Baba Hakima, with us. We will have you back again. And thank you to all of our listeners for being with us this evening as well. We have been hearing about what's the plan, master, not slave, and we've certainly been given insight to that. Thank you and good night. Be back with you again next Thursday.
Ashe.
No matter what may come our way,
we are going to make it all through.
We will lift every voice and say,
we are going to make it all through.
So many before us and a heavy prize.
We are going to
make it through. And for a sake maybe of the Messiah.